Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, we're live on Candy Camera. Tonight is October 26th. Anyways, John will be joining us shortly, and hopefully Bob. We do have new business cards. I'm going to be mailing out a third of the business cards to John and a third to Bob. And hopefully we can spread the word a little more. The show has briefly shifted. We do cover politics from time to time. And it has shifted more to a religious tone. Good evening, John. Thanks for joining the show.
Greetings, Jane Hoffman. And are you ready to put your holy hammer down?
Yes, tonight I am. It has been a rather stressful day. Have you heard from Bob if he's planning to join the show tonight?
I have not heard from Bob, but I haven't. I've been kind of out of the loop, running around, and I just got back from bringing some food to Margaret, my silent movie star screen child.
Margaret Mary Minter.
Yes, look at you. And how are you?
We
this
did
year?
A show on her, and I recently listened to the archive.
Yeah, there you are.
Back in the.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say she's doing quite well, and I usually bring her some rice and some asparagus and strawberries and grapes, stuff like that. She doesn't have her teeth, so she can't really eat heavy food. And, you know, whenever I work with young musicians and people, younger people, I always help either visit or try to help, you know, someone that's elderly or that's kind of on the low end of the stick. And it's always a good reminder because it allows us to see how life flows and how, you know, for many of us, I mean, when you get to your later years, it's not living in a mansion. You know, sometimes it's a convalescent home with a tube in your throat. And it's sobering. It makes us realize how precious life is and how you can't waste it.
Yeah, I do feel that when I see people in despair. I trained at a new house on, I believe it was Friday night. Mm-hmm. There's one blind person, one deaf person, one schizophrenic person who cries for her parents even though she's in her 60s, and one tall person with a deformed hand.
Oh, yeah. And we take this,
and,
you know,
it is, they are quite fragile creatures on the earth. What would they be?
We take this all for granted. And if you talk to the average teenager in the middle of summer, and you call them up, hey, what's going on? They're like, oh, I'm kind of bored. Don't know what I want to do. Just nothing to do. And, I mean, that's not just one case. It's just across the board. It's like, visit an old folks home or you know, a center for people with disabilities. You know, you should walk out of there jumping up and down, like ready to take on life. It's like, embrace the day that you have, you know, carpe diem. And it's like, do not waste one second if you can, you know, possibly avoid that, because we take it for granted. It's just very temporary, our life.
Well, the main shift of this, dwelling on things could be a subtopic tonight. I have crossed many hurdles these last few months. I have a better job now. I reduced from 3 to 2 jobs, and then I took one back. I'm able to work overtime and get time and a half quite a bit, and I'm blessed. But then I did backslide today after I did break up with someone last night. It was only a one-month relationship. But then I backslid tonight, and I started listening to a radio show, suspecting that I might be the primary topic. So for all you haters out there, and the haters gonna hate, and the players gonna play, shake it off. It's apparent that Ernest is obsessed with me. Because 2 weeks ago, I went back and looked at what date it was. And he and I'm only going to spend 5 minutes on this topic tonight.
I'm getting the clock out.
He told his BBW, big, blue, beautiful black women, that that he had a summer of trauma, or I can't remember how he said it. So, right? I don't remember. I'll have to look it up in the middle of the episode. But he said something like drama or trauma. I can't remember how he described it. But basically, he keeps rehashing the past. See, this is the thing he does I've noticed throughout all the shows. Oh, good. Bob's here. Bob, I'll take you in a minute. So he rehashes the past. He goes over the past. I did find a criminal record with his name on it, and the only other Ernest Sewell in New York was 111 years old. So I temporarily posted this PDF on my blog saying that I thought he had may have committed a burglary crime, but he didn't. Now, this was in the middle of our fight. I took it down 2 days later when he emailed me and told me that it was not his. But the fact of the matter is he's still dragging the fight out. I won the fight with BTR. My episodes got reposted. I reclaimed $500 through PayPal in back payments I made him. And he's angry with me. But I don't stalk him. I don't ever read his blog page anymore. And I basically think he's a phony. He doesn't live for the Lord. And he's not even gay because no man would even have him. So I'm not going to criticize him. I'm just saying, I'm putting it out there that we buried the bones, quit rehashing the past. Apparently, you're always obsessed with me if you have to keep making shows about me. And
true,
although I think
you're stating most of the truth. I think you're tilting the board, and by that I mean if you're not following up or stalking or keeping tabs, how would you know he's saying stuff about you on his shows? He's like saying, I don't follow this
That's
person. I went
saying,
to their house
I haven't
yesterday.
Checked. I just clarified that, John. I said I haven't checked his page, which is his blog page, ErnestSewell.com. But tonight I was looking for my old radio episodes, and I saw one of his something on his radio page.
Right.
When he was, that looked like he was possibly describing me. And
I
don't see how he could call me why would he call me a stalker when I've only talked to him 3 times in the last 6 months, and one time I was returning his call after he was fighting with me about money.
Right. Well, I guess it would kind of go to the, kind of the extent, you may not be stalking him, it's kind of like, someone's in their house talking about stuff, and they go, man, I hate the fact that this person's just, you know, constantly up in my business. And you're outside the window going, ah, see, you're talking about me again, but I'm not following up. And they're going, Exhibit A, there it is. I say one thing, and she's waiting to pounce on it. So,
talked about me 6 times in the last 5 weeks. This was the first time that I paid it any mind.
Right.
Well, this is what he said. He has been stomping out crazy all summer. Left and right. Now, what does he mean by crazy? Just because I recoup my PayPal payments? That makes me smart, not crazy. I don't want nothing from that boy. He ain't good looking, and he ain't straight. Now, let's bring Bob in. Hi, Bob.
Good evening. I missed the opening, so I'm not sure what's going on. But it sounds like it's time to change the subject anyway. So what else
I've known someone 25 years. I used to do a network with him, and he keeps exaggerating and saying bad things about me, and I let it go for 2.5 months, and then I checked his Blog Talk Radio page today, and he somehow did a show about me with me as the center of his life. However, we've talked 3 times in 6 months. But we were supposed to talk about romance in our middle age life, and we were going to talk about a couple other things about, you know, living for Jesus. But somehow it got sidetracked, and John was going to chastise me anyway.
Yes, I kind of... Well, it's kind of the idea of what do you get out of any further, unless there's going to be some reconciliation. You're investing time, like he's, you know, even just responding, even if the other person attacking you or saying things. Like, are you going to get money? Are you going to get a better position in life through this? I mean, it sounds like it's just a dead, it's a rat hole. You put money or you pour water into it. I don't know if you've ever been on a farm. A rat hole is a hole. It doesn't matter what you put down there. Nothing comes back. You could pour water in there all night. It just keeps going and going. And so what's the benefit is what I'm wondering.
I don't think he's going to change. He stole $300 from my sister and $1,200 from my friend, and his uncle paid back my sister. He never apologized in the whole 25 years I knew him. In fact, he was mad at his uncle for sending him back, and I'm not getting anything out of it. All I'm getting is more insults from him.
Right.
And it's making me angrier, and it's making me want to say bad things about him.
Right. So you have a dog with an old bone, and every time you go to reach for the bone, it tries to bite you. And then it's like, so I'm saying, what's the benefit of reaching for the bone? Like, you know he's going to bite you, and he loves that bone.
There's nothing, I don't know. I don't know why he wants to hurt
people. I guess what I'm asking is, why are you reaching for the bone? You know he's going to bite you. You know it's an old bone. Who wants to play with that bone? You know you have other things in your life that are cool.
I think what happened is I had broken up with this. I had a friend for a year and a half. Then we started dating, and it wasn't working out, and I dumped him. And then my client had 2 hours of free time today, independence, where she gets to do her own thing and she doesn't need staff. So I came home, and I was surfing my website and a few others, and
right.
I came across the old bone, and I bit it.
Okay. Just as long as you're aware.
I'm sure Bob doesn't
want
to hang around for this trivial crap. So
it's sounding like group therapy.
Like Bob wants to bury the bone, right?
Yeah. I have a situation with a so-called Aramaic expert. And once I realized what was going on, I stopped all communication with him. I ignore things that he says about me, that he writes about me, both on his website and emails that he sends out to me and to all his followers. I just ignore everything. And it took a couple of years, but he stopped, you know.
Uh-huh.
At least he's not sending me any more emails.
Probably moved on to someone else, you know, that will respond to him.
Yeah, because it's a waste of my time to get drawn into this, you know. And it hurts my credibility by me being involved in such a trivial
It lowers you to his level, kind of.
Something like that. Yeah, and
it's not what you're about. You're into other things.
That's correct. You know, so I'm in favor of that maybe Jane might just never contact this person or mention him or anything. Again, he just dropped him from your world. Don't make him.
I will
part
do
of,
that.
Yeah,
but before I do that, we need to pray for him because he's turned his blog into pornography.
Yeah, it sounds too like you, at this point. I mean, specifically right now, you're not totally ready to let go of all of it. Like, there's a certain curiosity to it. Like, you know, maybe a month from now, I say, well, I wonder if he said anything else. What was his last response? And I guess that's kind of the hook that keeps it. And you're not just like a bad person.
Well, what do you think he's getting out of it?
Power, empowerment. You know, we had some neighbors. They don't live here anymore, but they're like, you know, they were in their 70s. And if you walk by their apartment, you could hear them going, you always leave the TV on too loud. He's like, you know, I don't like what you do. Da, da, da. He's like, well, you never listen to me. He's like, you know what? Guys, can't you just shut your mouth and enjoy the little life you have left? But it's like, no, you live, you thrive for the, there's no other power in your life, so you thrive off of grinding on each other. And so to me, it's like, I guess it works on the assumption, do you really have any extra life to give? You know, like 500
right.
years from now, Julius Caesar, or, you know, 2,000 years ago, Julius Caesar, oh, I had a real argument with that guy. I really hated him. Like, in the big eternal picture, what does it matter, like, if you win or lose that? It's like, it's more like, what good energy did you put out? And I'm not saying you're bad. I'm just saying there's people like that out there that will suck our energy and our life. And to, the trick is to negotiate with people around you and avoid those pitfalls. I get stuck in it all the time.
You know, it's not like I do it every day. I just checked one episode in the last 2 months.
He's been on hiatus.
Yeah, he's been on a hiatus for 2 or 3 months. And you know what? I had partially forgiven him, but he has not improved. He hurls insults at people. He calls people names. He doesn't apologize. He thinks everything he does is right, that he's incapable of wrong. And I'm going to let it go, Bob and John.
Can you reverse it? And in a certain way, it's like, pray God, just bless him. Like, give him a big hug. It's like, okay, he's not going to like you. He's going to even insult you. He's going to say, don't touch me. But I mean, in a spiritual way, turn the other cheek. And I have some people, like, I just, when I finish, you know, like sending them a note, they don't realize how much they've pissed me off. I just put blessings. And they're thinking, oh, he's blessed me because he likes me. It's like, I'm supposed to bless my enemies. They don't even know it. But I try to, like, okay, in my mind, I just need to, like, really try to love them. It's very hard.
That's a tall task, but I don't care so much about what he does or says about me, because I know who I am in Christ. And he also said I'm broke and old, and I'm neither. I have money in the bank now. But the fact of the matter is that he's still trying to hurt me.
Sure. And there are people like that, you know. The devil wants to hurt you, and he motivates other people. He puts ideas, you know, throws it into their mind, and they entertain it. And that's what I'm saying. There's no end to the amount of people. Like right now in a bar somewhere in every city, there's an angry guy drinking down a beer that wants to bump into someone and go out in the parking lot and just beat the crap out of him. How come? Because he's a henpecked husband. He's got a go-nowhere job. He's a divorce. You know, he's paying child support that he can't afford. Just someone looking for a fight. And there's no end to it. There's tons of them out there. So I'm just saying, every one of those that you can avoid, you're just saving your own life.
By the way, the chat room is open, and I'm the moderator. So if you guys are by the internet, you can join the chat room.
Nice.
All you have to do is refresh the page, and for guests, the guests will arrive when they arrive. Okay, so anyways, why don't we change the topic tonight? Before we get into my second topic, Bob, do you have anything on your mind?
Nope. Let's just move forward on to the second topic. Is that romance in middle age?
Yes.
Yes.
Now,
what I was going to talk about is... Uh-huh, go ahead, Bob.
I remember as a teenager, I used to think that middle age began at 30.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not certain where I thought old age began. Probably 50.
I think that's a normal feeling.
As a teenager, that's how I viewed things.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Now yeah. 30 would be like oh, I'd give $1 million. Like, that would be like being born again.
Yes, I consider 30 to be young
right.
now. When you're in your teens and maybe through most of your 20s, I guess, romance is kind of, I don't want to say it's random, but we don't give much thought about, you know, who we're attracted to. You know, we just, we're attracted to someone and we decide to move forward, you know, without thinking about some of the other things involved. At least that's the way I was.
Right.
In middle age, I'm 62. I'm not sure if I'm still in middle age. I'm probably at the if I'm in middle age, I'm at the coming close to the end of it. Mm-hmm. But in middle age, we tend to think more about to try to figure out where is this gonna lead.
Right. I think I got fooled by Denny's or IHOP about how old I am, because I thought I was a senior. I'm like, yeah, I'm 55. You go in there, you get the senior meal. And so the last couple months I've been taking the bike and the bus, and I get on the bus with the bike. I put it on the stand on the outside of the bus, jump in there, throw 50 cents down, which is the senior rate, and off I go. And I've been doing this, for 2 or 3 months, and everything's fine, because I looked it up. And I thought 55 was the age. And this one bus driver a couple days ago said, hey, wait a second. He said, senior, it's like you got to pay $1. I said, no, I'm a senior. I was born in 59, and I was 4 when JFK got shot. And usually they don't even think through the numbers, but I know what the numbers are. So off I walked, and then he thought about it for like 2 minutes. He's like, no, you have to be 62 on the bus to be a senior. I'm like, well, at IHOP, I'm a senior. So I guess I don't qualify yet. I'm not in the club.
Well, I was going to give a time frame. I thought the same way Bob did. When I was 18 or 20, I thought 30 was the definite beginning of middle age. And that's the age I got pregnant with Alexis. Then several years went by, and I had Lauren at 37. And now I'm 54, and I started dating again after I took a two-year break. And I started dating someone closer to my age, 46. And he's a great friend. I've known him a year and a half. He's always there for me, but romantically, we didn't hit it off. And I had to end it abruptly last night after about a month and a half of dating, because it just didn't seem right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is how middle-aged people, at least 54 to 60-year-olds, feel, that if you're going to have someone in your life, it's better to have someone you know. But if you're just going to do cold call dating, then that's hard too, because I went on a Christian website today and I wasn't even on there 5 minutes. I barely set my profile up and 3 men wrote to me. I mean,
yes.
They must really be surfing the web. So that's an uncomfortable feeling too. Like, I'd rather just talk to somebody for a while and then maybe go on a date a month from now. But I'm not just going to jump straight into the dating pond again.
Right.
And don't you think people just want companions? They don't really want maybe a spouse.
Yeah, I think too. It's when you get older, you do look at the end of the road. Like, where is it heading? Because you've been through it before, and suddenly, like we Jane and I talked earlier today, I said it's very most people want this head over heels, total, like, I can't live without you, baby. Like, for most guys, if you want to get a gal, I mean, this is what happened in my marriage. This is what broke it up. This guy just hunted down my wife, just, sending her notes and cards and calling, and it's like, I can't live without you, and you're the center of my world. And she finally believed it, and which wasn't true. It blew up in 2 months. After 15 years with me. But most people want this kind of thing. And the problem is, I'm 55. There's no way I can look at a woman and say, I can't live without you. It's like, actually, I've lived all my life without you. So I can't
don't you
that.
Think, I mean, the sense of desperation is, John goes to work, John's self-sufficient, John takes care of John. I'm pretty sure you think if a woman comes along, you just want it to be someone to maybe make music with or something.
Right.
I mean, you don't want someone who's going to be a burden.
Right, which is usually a woman wants someone that's just going to give 100% of attention, time, and money, and that's understandable. I think that's a dynamic in young love, but I think as you get older, you start to realize, what am I here to do? How does this line up? Because the problem is, You divert from what your life is or what you like, whatever your calling is, to pursue this person. And once you get them, people go back to what they were doing. I'm a dentist, or going to school, or musician, or you want to start your own business. And now this other person's like, well, he changed or we drifted apart. It's like, no, he got back to what he was doing before he met you. You know, he got the conquest of running you down, and now he's moved on to his other ambitions. And that's how come people,
that relationship only lasted 2 months?
Yeah, yeah. In fact, and she actually went on to his best friend because, you know, hanging around this guy, his best friend's hanging around there, and she was a pretty girl. He's attracted, so he flirts with her, and she started up something with him. And she even, you know, I still kept a good relationship with my ex even while we went through this stuff, and she asked me, she would consult with me, like, well, what do you think I should do? I said, you know, there's 10 million other men in L.A., find one of them. It's like, you're going to destroy this relationship, his best friend, and you're going to be done with him in a couple months or a year, and, you know, it's just not worth it. Like don't harm their relationship.
And who did she end up with?
She left him for his best friend, and that lasted about 2 or 3 months. Actually, about a year. And the funny thing is, she met another friend of that guy and moved on.
And who is she with now?
It's funny because then she got hooked up with a different guy. This one was actually on her own. She was working in entertainment law, and she met a musician that was in a band that was touring, and they hooked up. And then his friend, this is after about a year or so, now they were breaking up, their relationship was really bad, and this musician's friend on the side kind of backdoored in, and she basically just floated from one relationship to another, never really broke up with a guy and was by herself, always just kind of just transitioned to the next person. So it was a kind of a character flaw. It did work out. This guy is really cool. They've been together now, I don't know, maybe 10 years. They've got a couple kids. So it worked out, you know, but I'm just saying those are issues that you deal with. You know, can you be by yourself? Can you deal with yourself? Can you be honest about what you want in a relationship? And it changes when you get
older.
One
of the questions on the 100-question survey today at Plenty of the Fish is, how much time on the average is there between relationships? Like, do you just go from one to the next?
About every 2 or 3 years, someone will come along. And then, you know,
but for your wife, she would have had to answer 30 seconds.
Yeah, 10 seconds. I mean, some of it was zero because the other person was overlapping. There was a couple times in between where she'd be, you know, and to tell you the truth, if you asked her and said, you know, you never were by yourself, you're always hopping between relationships, she wouldn't admit that. She would say, oh, no, I was, you know, on my own for 2 or 3 years. It's like, no, I was around the house. I know the guys you were dating and going out with. You know, I saw all the calls and stuff. You know, I'd even sneak in.
Were you still living with her after you got divorced?
The first year and a half, yeah. Yeah, even after we divorced. I was going to move out. Yeah, I was. But, you know, I'm also a different kind of person. You know, most guys would kill, you know, if the wife was cheating, they'd hunt that guy down, or they'd have a big, you know, fight. I was kind of like, you know, I love this person, my wife, and I want her to be happy. I mean, if you really think you want to be with someone else, I mean, that's really what you want in life? You really don't want to be with me? I'm not going to hunt you down. It's like, live and prosper, you know? It's like, I think I'm the guy, but I mean, you know, what am I going to do? Beat him up? Is that the Christian thing to do? You know? I'm different.
Yeah, well, I guess the whole thing I was trying to say is that I think companionship is good at our age.
Mm-hmm.
Bob has a roommate of the opposite sex, and they're good friends. And, you know, like, I think I have two male friends in my life up here in Duluth who are pretty regular in my life, but I also have a lot of female friends. So, we just have to go on, you know, and do what we got to do. But I don't really feel like insecure like I did when I was 25.
Well, that kind of, you know, begs the question. Mm-hmm. It's like, what's the difference between, say, a friend and as compared to a marriage or a lover? It's like, if you throw out the sex, if you just take out the part, okay, we're not banging each other. It's like, well, You can still go to the store together. Yeah, you could play sports together. You could work out. You could write a song. You could go to Bible study. I mean, you can basically do everything. And I think most people, they develop this physical intensity, and it's disproportionate. It's unrealistic to living life. And now it's fun. I won't deny that.
Well, I think in the back of everybody's mind, like when I didn't date for 2 years, I thought maybe it was a secular way of thinking I was going to miss something. Mm-hmm. And do you guys ever have those feelings like you should be married or you should be involved with somebody or what?
I do. I agree with that. But what about you, Bob?
I always feel that way. But then I have... At the same time, I have doubts about this one and that one, and I also have in my mind that although I want to be involved with someone, by living with the times that I spent by myself, I was incredibly productive in other areas,
mm-hmm.
and I think that
that is really true.
If I found myself in a fulfilling relationship, I might just knock it out of bed in the morning, just stop
yeah.
stop being productive. That thought seems to be a justification for staying by myself.
Yeah, I'm going to read this verse out of 1 Corinthians 6:28. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. So it's, what if you're with someone that you're half into and then you're not really in love and you have sex with them? That's not really fulfilling either. Psalms 37, 3 and 4 says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So I think society projects a lot of that, boy-girl love type of thing.
Yeah, and it's part of our nature. I mean, I guess it's our wiring that keeps the whole thing going. I mean, without a little bit of codependency, people wouldn't hook up, and they wouldn't have kids, and the kids are codependent on their parents. They have to be. They can't be independent until they become adults and can take care of themselves. But the whole point of it is that if you get in a situation where you're alone and you're middle-aged or you're older and the opportunities aren't there, there's kind of this feeling of like, well, life is meaningless and I don't have no significance. And I guess what I'm saying is you always have this significance. Like, what does it matter if one person or 50 people say, hey, you're important, you're significant? It doesn't change who you are. The attribute of God is I am that I am. It's not like whether you worship him and love him or not, he's still God. And I think once you get to that point of acceptance to realize it's nice when people flatter you or when someone says they love you, but you know what? I'm still just as important or viable as when my ex loved me or didn't, when she was cheating on me. It's like, it's okay. I'm still significant. And to get to that point of acceptance, once you really get that, it's like, I don't have to be in a relationship. It's just like gravy. It's nice, but then it becomes, is it really beneficial to what I'm doing in life, or is it a detriment? So...
Well, now we're getting close to the end times, and we have to, there's not a small percentage of people truly follow God, and we have to be the beacons of light in the world. Ruth 1:16 says, but Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God shall be my God.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I feel. I feel like a relationship is a distraction. I work 72 hours a week, and I can barely get to the pool. But if I find someone I enjoy spending time with no pressure for sexuality, then I just consider that a good friend. And that's as far as I want to go right now.
Despite what I said before about my own feelings about me being productive or unproductive, it says that in Genesis, it says, you know, the two shall join together and become one flesh. We're supposed to be married,
right?
You know, I mean, that's the natural and normal thing. And when we don't do that, it shows how something is wrong either with our social organization or our personal organization.
Great point, and I think one thing that I didn't touch on is that there's a synergy. There's a there's a chemistry that when two people come together, that you do something that one person can't. You know, one puts to flight 1,000. The Bible says two puts to flight 10,000. There's a multiplication thing. You know, you have children. You bring life. I didn't get into L.A. by myself. It was the whole energy of my wife and I. It's like we were a power couple, and it was crazy. It was intoxicating. It was blinding because I didn't realize how easy it was when we were working together. And when I didn't have that, it's been an incredible struggle. You know, try pushing your car by yourself. It's just sometimes daunting, and we improvise to be, you know, single. So I think if you do go through divorce, and most of us, you know, if you're middle-aged and single, you've been in relationships and you've broken up, so you have to reestablish who you are as an independent person. But that being said, once you establish that, you're ready to get in a relationship and merge with someone else, and those two complete entities, not defective, codependent, I'm going to kill myself, but, you know, like all together, got your stuff going on, you're emotionally healthy, that synergy is incredible. And
Like, I've been out of gambling 7 months. I still go to treatment once a week, and I have enough money to survive, and I'm not looking for Daddy Warbucks, a sugar daddy, but I'm just looking to someone to go out for coffee with on a Friday night.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's
and,
cool.
And I am in a cold state, and it's nice to have, you know, somebody around.
What about you, Bob? What are you looking for in a relationship?
Someone that I can trust, someone that I can share things mm-hmm. with, the other person will understand. You know, that's, you know, which means someone from a very similar cultural background whose earlier life did the same things earlier in life than I did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that we can, that we can relate to each other fairly closely.
I had a proposal a concept that I pitched to my dad. He actually liked it, but we also realized it was impractical. But the thought was, if consider love or a relationship, you know, it's like a product like gasoline. And so you have a contract with this one dealer, you know, at the corner of Chevron, and you say, you know, I'm only going to buy gasoline from you. And he says, okay, I'm going to give you a special price, you know, the dollar a gallon, and as long as you always only come to me and no one else. He goes, great, we got a partnership agreement. It's like a lifetime deal. It's like no matter what in life, you will always come to me. And go, okay, I'm down for that. You know, it's great service. And then after a couple of years, the gas station says, you know, he can't go anywhere else. I think I'm going to raise the prices. And, you know, on Fridays and Saturdays, if I'm short on gas, he's going to have to wait because there's nowhere else he's going to go. And pretty soon it's like once a month you can show up and you'll get, you know, and it's not going to be the best product. It'll be a little bit watered down. After a while, you're sitting there going, well, that sucks. I don't have any options because this is my only source for the gas. And then, so in business, what we do, we usually do like one-year contracts, you know, when you're bidding office supplies or whatever service, usually for 6 months or a year. So, okay, for the next year, you're contracted with us and you get the special deal, you know, whether it's a lease for your car, your copier, or whatever. And, you know, at the end of that year, you're a free agent. So that puts the pressure on all your, especially the last couple of months of the contract. The other person's going, I better keep giving him great service because when the contract's up, he's going to go. So my pitch to my dad was like, what if instead of marriage, this lifetime contract where they know you're stuck with each other and they start giving you bad service, have the one-year renewable marriage agreement. At the end of the year, I'm unhappy, I walk. He said, that's a great concept, except,
that's,
of course, if you have kids.
Well, more than that, that's really unfair to women who, when they are younger, are more sexually desirable.
Mm-hmm.
And as they grow older, they lose their sexual desirability. And if they're forced to renegotiate a marriage every year or every few years or whatever, it will each time they're looking around, they have less to offer because they cannot. You know,
but then, like in my
20,
case,
22
I mean,
again.
I was in situations like, what are you going to do? It's 2 in the morning. You can't sleep. Your wife doesn't want to have sex with you. Maybe she wants to have it a couple times a month. You want to have it every night, and you're sitting there just going crazy. You can't go to sleep. It's like, we made an agreement. It's like, and the funny thing, when she had an affair, she was banging her boyfriend every night. I said, I'm going to sue you when my ex was cheating on me.
How did you know that?
Because we talked. Because for about 3 or 4 weeks, she said, well, I'm just moving over to Joseph's, and we're not having sex. I'm just sleeping on the couch. I said, okay, you know, sort your stuff out. You know, and I'm busy. We're doing concerts, and we still were contracted to do stuff. So I'm like, okay, we'll do the show, and then we'll sort your life out.
Was she a singer?
Yeah. She was the front person. Yes, I used to be the front person, and then she took that place because she was better. She was hot at the time. So the point is, after we did our show, it's like, okay, we're going to sit down and talk. And she avoided me for a week, and I'm like, hey, we got to get together and let's work on this relationship or whatever's going on. And so finally, I said, are you sleeping with him? And so it's just silence. I'm like, oh my goodness, I thought you were on the couch. Like, you are, I said, you're banging him every night, aren't you? Every night. He's like, silence. I said, oh my goodness, I'm suing for back sex for 10 years. But she was in love and, you know, all goo-goo and everything. And hey, it's what happens.
I don't think I could handle a situation like that.
I'm a weird, you know, creature. But to me, it was actually, I learned a lot. I learned a lot about responsibility. You know, I was responsible as much. You know, if she was happy, she wouldn't have been hunting. I left the doors open in certain ways. You know, I was casual. And by that, I mean I wasn't a possessive, overly jealous person. You know, that kind of worked against me. But I'm just not that way. I'm not this kind of like, you know, stalking you everywhere you go, every phone call, who you're talking to kind of person. I'm like, if you love me, you love me. It's like, God, you know. But that kind of worked against me. Some women like to be stalked or hunted.
Yes, well, I have.
Well, you know,
I'd
like you to talk about a relationship. Okay, we only have 5 minutes left. Why don't you talk about a relationship you've had since that last marriage? Wasn't there a girl from Chicago who asked you to move to Chicago with her?
I dated this gal for about 3.5 years, and we were talking about serious stuff. And what came down is really weird. I was wanting to resolve some issues between us because I'm a lifer. It's like, I'm not backing out. I don't care how bad the relationship is. It's like, I'm going to ride this puppy into the ground. You know, it's like, I'm a gamer. And so I didn't want to get into a situation that was bad, so I tried to work out as many angles as possible. And it came down to two things. One was she was going to move to Chicago and live forever. And I was like, well, I can't do that. You know, I mean, I love California, maybe Chicago for 5 years, but I don't want to retire in a freezer, 32 degrees with wind, you know, for half the year. And then the other issue was, I said, well, what if we're not together? She said, well, I'll never talk to you again. I'm like, what? I said, no. If, you know, well, the minute I met you, I knew you were the one and we were going to get married. And if not, I don't want to ever see you again. I'm like, that sounds kind of weird. And basically everyone that met her didn't like her. band didn't like her. My mom didn't like her. No one liked her. Best friends, they'd come over and she's like, she was uncomfortable. I'm like, you know, these are kind of my circle of people. If you don't like them, you know, how's our relationship going to grow?
Are you still friends with her? Well, we only have a minute left. I'm just going to say the best relationship I ever had was the 28-year-old Russian guy who bought that. But
wow.
I also had a good husband.
No, we basically, I kind of just, instead of moving forward, I kept backing away. It's like, oh, this doesn't sound really too cool because, I mean,